بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, sister, we will continue to learn about the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the title of the class today is Lessons from Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. Actually, sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, after the death of the two main supporters of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his kind wife Khadija and his uncle Abu Talib, and in Shawwal, the 10th year after receiving the mission from his Lord, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set out towards a small city called Al-Ta'if, 60 kilometers from Mecca, in the company of his freed slave Zayd bin Haritha, inviting people to Islam. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was hoping to have a better people than those in Mecca so that they can accept the message of Islam. So he arrived to that small town north of Mecca, prepared for the good response to his message. So what happened at Al-Ta'if? Unfortunately, and contrary to his expectations, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found that the general atmosphere was extremely hostile. Let us listen to the responses of his call to Islam from the people of Al-Ta'if. Some of them said, "I swear that I will never have any contact with that person." The other said, "Has not Allah found someone else to entrust him with his message?" Others said, "It is true that Allah has sent you as a messenger. We don't think so." For 10 days, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed there delivering his message to try to convince the people, but none of them accepted his mission and none of them believed in him. The people, they throwed him with the stones, so the blood flowed down from both his legs, and Zayd tried to shield the Prophet, but Zayd was wounded in his head. Then obligated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was obligated to flee from the siege. He must leave the siege. At a time when the whole world seemed to have turned against him, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned to his Lord and prayed to him for help. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sad, wounded, tried and tired, but confident of the help of his Lord. Now we will learn about the supplication of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the city called Al-Ta'if, because this is a very famous supplication, and we already learned about it before when we learned about the supplication at the time of hardship and distress. But we must learn it again now because it is part of the life of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called on Allah saying, "O Allah, I appeal to you for the weakness in my strength and my limited power and the treatment of the contempt and humiliation from the people. To you, the most merciful of all the merciful ones, you are the Lord of the oppressed and you are my Lord. Under whose care are you leaving me to an enemy oppressing me? Or to a friend you have given control of my affairs? If there is no anger from you over me, I will be forever be content. However, your blessing is important to me. I seek refuge with the glory of your light, which the heavens and the earth are lit from, that your anger will not befall on me, nor your displeasure descends on me. to you is the supplication until you are pleased, and there is control, there is no control or power except by you. I will again clarify to you the meaning of that supplication, sister, because this is a recommended supplication for every Muslim when you are at a time of distress or hardship, or you feel that there are people whom they are stronger than you, they are trying to put you in troubles or to cause for you harm. So this is the recommended answered supplication, because Allah the Almighty, He answered His supplication. Okay? So again, if we want to learn how to call on Allah when you are facing a great hardship, number one, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Allah, "Oh Allah, I appeal to you for the weakness in my strength and my limited power." Okay? Whenever you call on Allah as a slave of Allah, you must start by clarifying to Allah that, "Oh Allah, I admit I am very weak. I don't have a power. I am in great need of you." This is number one for the step for the answering of the supplication. You cannot call on Allah whom you believe that you are his slave, and you will not show him that you believe that you are his slave. Okay? This is number one. Number two, he is calling on Allah, clarifying that the people are treating him in a bad way. This is the problem. So when you call on Allah, you show Allah that you are very weak, you are in great need, and then you mention your problem. Okay, his problem at that time was that, you know, the people were treating him in a very bad way. Then number two, when you call on Allah, step two to have your supplication answered, is that you must mention to Allah that you believe in His names. You are the most merciful of all the merciful ones. Okay, you must mention some of the names of Allah which you know. You are the most powerful, you are the most merciful, you are the all-knower, you are the provider, you are the owner of the heavens and the earth. You must mention this. This is step two. And he is mentioning to Allah, "You are the Lord of the oppressed and you are my Lord." So I am an oppressed, weak person treated by very bad way from the people. Okay, then he started to, and this is very important, sister, he started to connect with Allah through his heart. So he is telling to Allah, "Under whose care are you leaving me to?" Okay, this is what is always causing, you know, the pain in the spirit. What can I do? Oh Allah, you are the most merciful. But to whom you are leaving me, you know, to suffer in this life? To an enemy oppressing me, those the people of Mecca, or to a friend you have given control of my affairs? Okay, I am not able to, you know, to spread my mission. I am not able to call the people for you because of those enemies and because of those friends whom they are controlling me. So when you call on Allah, and this is step number three, sister, talk to Allah from the depths of your heart with your own language, with your own words. Okay? I always say to Allah, okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in Arabic, Malish ghayrak, mafish ghayrak. What is the meaning of this? I don't have anyone except you because there is no one but you. Okay, so when you say this to Allah, you feel that, you know, you are connected with the most powerful, and this is the end of the story. Okay? There is no one except you, okay? Because you are all the powerful, okay? And because of that, I am in great need of your help. If you will not help me, who will help me? Those enemies or those people whom they have hearts like the stones, okay? Then he clarified to Allah that if there is no anger from you over me, I will be content. The most important for me that you are pleased with me. This is the message of sincerity. You are sending it to Allah from the depth of your heart, and actually it is a cure for your spirit at the same time. You are sending a message of sincerity to Allah so that Allah will be pleased with you and Allah will answer you, clarifying to Allah you believe in His oneness. And at the same time, when you mention these words from the depth of your heart, you will feel free. Now I am in contact with the one who can do everything. I am clarifying to him the message. He can do everything for me. People are nothing. If he is not angry with me, I am content with everything. Because so long Allah is not angry with you, He will never put on you a burden more than you can tolerate. So I will be safe. Okay, so long Allah is not angry with me. Let all the people be angry with me. Let all the people be my enemies. They don't have any power. Okay, but the only one who has the power, if he is not angry with me, I am content. Okay, but again, sisters, all the time when you call on Allah, you must say this coming statement. Your blessing is very important to me. Your blessing is, I am content with everything, but your blessings are very important to me. Because I don't want to live in a hardship while Allah is pleased with me. I don't want the hardship, okay? I want that Allah will give me ease. Okay, so your blessings are very important to me. Then he seeks refuge with the glory of the light of Allah, that his anger will not befall him and your displeasure will not descend on him. And then at the end, this is what we are supposed to say at the end of any supplication. To you is the supplication until you are pleased. There is no control or power except by you, O Allah. This is how we are supposed to call on Allah. This is the example of the answered supplication. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So,
is that from Sunnah? Is that with us?
Actually, seeing him in this helpless situation, two wealthy people send him one of their Christian servants with a tray of grapes. He was in a very difficult situation, so two people, they send their servant. That servant was a Christian. That Christian servant spoke with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he accepted the message of Islam, and his name was Addas. And that Addas is also famous, and he is known the person who became a Muslim, the only one in At-Ta'if. Okay, heartbroken and depressed, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam set out on the way back to Mecca. Okay, he has to return back where he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his way, he looked up and he saw a cloud casting its shade on him, and Archangel Jibril addressed him. You see, Allah is answering his way before he arrives to Mecca, so that he will arrive to Mecca in a good shape. He will not arrive to Mecca depressed and sad. So Angel Jibril addressed him saying, Allah had heard your people words, that people of At-Ta'if, how they treated you in a bad way, and Allah sent you the angel of the mountains to your aid, to help you. You see how Allah is helping Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is sending the angel of the mountains. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That angel of the mountains, he called the Prophet and he gave him his greetings, and he asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for permission to bury Mecca between the two mountains flanking it. He told him, if the people on the earth are not believing in you, okay, no problem. Let us get rid of all of them. I will bury Mecca in these two mountains. And then Muhammad, none will cause for you any troubles. Okay, you see, when Allah wants to help a person, okay, who is sincere on calling to Allah, who is in a real hardship, Allah will send. You see what Allah sent for him, the angel of the mountain. But what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in spite of the fact he was depressed and he was wounded and he was alone and only Addas believed in him, he said to him, no. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was believing that maybe one from their lines.
Lines.
L-O-I-N-S.
Loins.
Loins. One from their loins will worship Allah. You see? This is again, sisters, when you call for Allah with sincerity, you don't care for the people, you care for the message. Okay? So, he didn't want revenge from them, in spite of the bad treatment. Okay? For 10 years he was calling for Allah and he was all the time treated the worst treatment. But there was no revenge in his heart. The most important is the message. So he said to that the angel of the mountain, no, don't kill them. Maybe by time Okay, one of their descendants will become a Muslim. Okay, this was a message of support from Allah. When Allah sent for Prophet Muhammad, the angel of the mountains, this was the message of support from Allah, which touched the heart of the Prophet and motivated him to continue his way to struggle for the sake of Allah. Today, inshallah, sister, we will learn about a journey which is a famous journey, which is a miracle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Arabic, it is called Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. I will clarify to you the meaning and the journey and the goal and the lessons, because this is a very important part of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To know about this journey, which was mentioned in the Holy Quran in only one verse of the Holy Quran, in spite of the fact of its importance, but it was mentioned in one verse in a chapter which is called Al-Isra. What is the meaning of Al-Isra in Arabic? Al-Isra in Arabic is walking at night. Okay, this is, so chapter 17 of the Quran is called the chapter Al-Isra, which is walking at night, because it is related to that journey, the night journey of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will recite now from surah number 17, verse number 1.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Exalted is he who took his servant, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by night from al-Masjid Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, whose surroundings we have blessed to show him of our signs. Indeed, he is the hearing and seeing.
So actually, sisters, this is the verse of the Holy Quran which is related to the night journey of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is one of his miracles. Actually, it was after the return of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from al-Ta'if at the end of the year of Thoro, which is the 10th year of the Prophet of Prophet Muhammad prophethood, during which the Prophet endured much sadness and hardship, as we clarified before why the 10th year of the prophethood is called the year of sorrow or the year of grief, because number one, he lost the two biggest sources of comfort and support, his beloved wife Khadija and his uncle Abu Talib. Second, without Abu Talib, the Muslim community experienced every increasing harassment in Mecca against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third, the trip to al-Ta'if, which was actually a very bad one. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already facing a lot of hardships and trials. So Allah the Almighty, actually he planned for him to have the relief, the comfort. So this is the cause of that trip, al-Isra and al-Mi'raj. Now let us learn in full details about what is the meaning of al-Isra and al-Mi'raj. These are the two parts of the night journey that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took during a single night. It was a physical and spiritual journey. This is very important facts which I am mentioning to you, sister, so that you will not be confused with some questions related to that journey. Whether it was only spiritual or it was spiritual and physical, how come it can be physical? It is a miracle to be physical. Yes, it is a miracle, but this is the miracle of the one of the miracles of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Isra means the night time trip of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Al-Kaaba. This means that from the south of Saudi Arabia. Let me show you this, sister. This is Al-Kaaba. Okay, he moved from Al-Kaaba to the city of Jerusalem, visiting Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in English means the forest mosque. Okay, so Allah took him, or Allah sent for him Angel Jibril. I will clarify to you now the details of the trip, but what is the meaning of Isra in related to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trip, the night journey? It means that the trip from Al-Kaaba to the city of Jerusalem, visiting the forest mosque. Okay, during that days to have that trip to go from Mecca or from Al-Masjid al-Haram, Al-Kaaba, to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, which is the farthest mosque, it took 1 month to go and 1 month to return. Okay? But for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was in one night. Okay? He moved from Mecca or from Al-Masjid al-Haram, from Al-Kaaba to Jerusalem, okay, during one night. Then we will learn about the second part of the trip, which is Al-Ma'raj. What is Al-Ma'raj? Al-Ma'raj is an Arabic word, means ladder. Okay, ladder. But related to the journey of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means Muhammad ascension to the heavens. After Allah sent Angel Jibril to take him from Al-Kaaba to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, he ascended with him in the seventh heavens. This is what we will learn now in details. I got for you this diagram so that I will clarify to you about every heaven, inshallah. Let us now learn the details of the story of the night journey, Al-Isra and Al-Ma'raj, the night trip from Al-Kaaba to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and then the ascension to the heavens. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one night, and the Prophet lay sleeping next to Al-Kaaba, he was sleeping here, he was woken by Archangel Jibril. Later the Prophet described what happened. He said, I sat up and Angel Jibril took hold of my arm. He took hold of his arm. I stood beside him, and he, Angel Jibril, brought me to the door of the mosque where there were a white animal called Al-Baraq. Okay, Al-Baraq is a white animal. Okay, Angel Jibril brought that animal with him so that he and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will rode that animal from Mecca to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Okay, that animal is known that it is always used by the prophets. Okay, this is Al-Baraq. Okay. So again, Jibril brought Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the door of the mosque Al-Kaaba, where there were a white animal for me to ride. Okay, he and Angel Jibril. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told of how he mounted that animal, Al-Baraq, with the angel Jibril at his side, and they were transported from Mecca to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, okay, in Jerusalem. There, the Prophet found Prophets Ibrahim, Moses, and Jesus in that masjid, okay, in Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Okay, Al-Masjid al-Aqsa is called, in Arabic it's called Al-Aqsa, in English it is the farthest mosques. In Islam there are three mosques where you are supposed to visit and to pray. Al-Kaaba in Mecca, the Masjid of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, where he is buried, and that the farthest mosque in Jerusalem. Okay? In the place of Masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found Prophets Ibrahim, Moses, and Jesus among a group of prophets. The Prophet was their imam in prayer. Okay, so they all prayed. Okay, all the prophets, they prayed, and their imam was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And actually, sister, there is a very important point regarding the belief when you listen to that story, which Abu Bakr as-Siddiq will mention it soon. Okay? But before Abu Bakr as-Siddiq will mention it, I must mention it to you when you listen to that story. When you listen to that story, you must believe it from the depths of the heart. Why? Because if you believe that there is an angel called Archangel Jibril who is coming to the Prophet and mentioning to him the Holy Quran, and the Prophet cannot read and write, so he would just memorize with Angel Jibril, then he will mention it to other people to write it, and this is the holy book of the Muslim, which is the only accepted religion on the Day of Judgment. If I believe in the revelation of the Quran through Angel Jibril, I can believe in everything. Okay, the most important, okay, or the most difficult, or what is need the belief is the belief of the revelation of the Quran from the heavens to the Prophet through an angel Jibril. Okay, anything after this is acceptable. Okay, this is the most important. How come he will memorize 600 pages in Arabic? The Holy Quran in Arabic is 600 pages. How come he memorized all of this? Okay, he never missed any letter, any word. Okay, and he mentioned it to the people while he cannot read or write. This is the greatest miracle in Islam. Okay, if I mentioned to you about Al-Isra or Mi'raj or anything, acceptable. So long I accepted that the Holy Quran is from Allah and it is not written by or mentioned or a magic from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, this is a very important fact. I must mention it to you now at the beginning of this trip because we will see how the people will accept the news of that trip. Okay, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the imam of all the prophets in prayer. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was brought two jugs. One of them containing wine and the other one containing milk. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he chose the milk and he refused the wine. At this, the archangel Jibreel said, "You have been rightly guided to the true nature of man, to choose the milk and to refuse the wine. And so will your people be, Muhammad. All your people also will be rightly guided. Wine was forbidden, is forbidden for you and your followers." So wine was forbidden. Okay, in the Holy Quran and in that trip, when Angel Jibreel said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wine is forbidden for you and your followers. Okay, why? Because wine is affecting the mind. Okay, this is the problem with the wine. Okay, so you can kill someone, you can cause harm for any person, you can cheat, you can lie, you can do anything because you are out of mind. Okay, but the milk is full of benefits for the body and of the human being. Accordingly, when he chooses the milk, this means that he is or he was rightly guided to the true nature of it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Angel Jibreel, they then passed through the heaven's gates. Now he will start the second part of the trip, which is the vertical journey, okay, through the gates of the heavens, okay, and actually going up, he saw countless angels. Among them, the angel who is called Malik, okay. Malik is the keeper of the hell, who never smiles. This is just, you know, an information about Malik, and Malik was mentioned in the Holy Quran. Okay, Malik stepped forward and he showed the Prophet a view of the hell. And it's terrible punishment. Okay, so this is the hell. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken up by the angels and Angel Jibreel through the seven heavens one by one. Along the way, he saw the following prophets. So let us now know about where are the prophets in the heavens. In the heaven number one is Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Okay, in the heaven number two is Jesus and Yahya. Okay, his relative. Okay, his cousin. Yahya is the cousin of Jesus. Okay, in
John.
In heaven number three, he saw Yusuf, and he said that in more detailed paper that when he saw Yusuf, he said the most beautiful human being to see ever, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Yes, you know. And Rahim. So in the heaven number three, he met Yusuf. In the heavens number four, he met Prophet Idris. In the heaven number five, he met Prophet Harun, the brother of Prophet Musa. In the heaven number six, he met Prophet Musa. And in the heaven number seven, the highest one, he met Prophet Ibrahim. And it was mentioned that the Prophet who had the most similar features to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Prophet Ibrahim. They are very much similar to each other. Musa, this is Prophet Musa. Musa and his brother Harun or Aaron, okay? Aaron and Musa and Ibrahim.
That's okay.
Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He reached the lot tree of the uttermost, which is called the Sidrat al-Muntaha, where no prophet has been before. Then he was instructed by Allah through the light of the divine presence of Allah. He didn't saw Allah. Okay, but because through the light, this is what is written. I revised maybe yesterday 7 references for this statement. Okay, what happened, you know, when he was instructed about the prayers, because as-salah, because Allah mentioned to him about as-salah, okay, after the 7th heaven. He alone without Angel Jibril. Angel Jibril was not allowed after the 7th heaven. Only Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was allowed to what is called in Arabic Sidrat al-Muntaha, lot tree of the uttermost, where he was instructed by Allah through the light of the divine presence of Allah that Muslims should pray 50 times a day. Okay, this was at the beginning. Allah commanded him that Muslims should pray 5 times a day. Okay, the Prophet, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, on his way back, he passed by Prophet Musa. Okay, and he said about him, and what a good friend he was. Musa asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many prayers had I been ordained to perform daily? Okay, this is the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Musa asked him, how many prayers you and your people were commanded to pray daily? So Prophet Muhammad, when I told him 50, he said, prayer is a serious matter and your people are weak. He knows about us. So go back to your Lord. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Go back to your Lord and ask him to reduce the number of the daily prayers. Prophet Muhammad is saying, I did so. And he took away 10. Allah took away 10. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed again by Prophet Musa. And he said the same again. And so it went so until there were only 5 prayers for the whole day and night. Musa again gave me the same advice. He said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again 5 are too much for your people. But Prophet Muhammad said, I replied that I am ashamed from my Lord. Okay. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied that I am ashamed from my Lord. Okay, and he of you who performs the 5 prayers faithfully will have the reward of 50 prayers. You see, subhanallah, you will pray 5, but you will have the reward of the 50. One good deed is equal to 10 in reward. Now we will know about how the people accepted the news of that trip, the night trip, which is called, you know, the Isra and the Mi'raj. Okay, on the morning following these events, as the Prophet returned to Mecca, he told the people what had happened in the morning. Okay, most of the people said, by God, this is ridiculous. Okay, we will not believe in what you are saying. Most of the people. Okay, why? Because a caravan takes a month to go to Syria and a month to return. Can you do that long journey in a single night? We don't believe it. Okay, even many Muslims, actually, they asked the Prophet to explain to them in details about that trip so that they can believe it. And some of them, they left Islam. They didn't believe in him and they left Islam. Actually, some ran with the news to Abu Bakr. Okay, some of them, they went to Abu Bakr, who said, by Allah, if Muhammad himself has said so, then it is true. Remember, the Prophet tells us that the word of Allah comes to him directly from the heavens to earth at any hour, by day or night, and we believe him. Isn't that a great miracle than what you are now doubting? if you believe that the Quran is coming from the heaven to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, this is the greatest miracle. So now why you doubt that he moved from, or he was transported from Mecca to Jerusalem, then to the seventh heaven, then he returned back over the night. Okay.
You know, some people might think it was me or something. Yes, you know,
this is the issue that some of the, you know, of the non-Muslims, okay, whom they are, they did a lot of research, yeah. They are with the impression that, you know, it was a dream. But now we will know from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the proof that it was not a dream. He said to them two or three proofs. Okay, and Allah made it a reality. But now we will continue still with Abu Bakr. Then Abu Bakr, he went to the mosque and he listened to the Prophet's detailed description of the trip. So Abu Bakr commented, O Prophet of Allah, you tell the truth. Okay, when he listened to the details, he said, you tell the truth. From then on, Abu Bakr was honored with the title As-Siddiq. Okay, because when you mention the name of Abu Bakr, the first Khalifa, he is Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Why he has that name, that title, as-Siddiq? As-Siddiq means he who gives his word to support the truth. Okay, and he gave that word when he listened to Prophet Muhammad and he said to him, you tell the truth. So this is the story of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, who had that title, okay, until the Day of Judgment, and on the Day of Judgment he would be called Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, the one who gives the word to support the truth. Actually, gradually, other people began to believe the Prophet's story. When he went on to describe, now Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will start to give the proofs, okay. Number one, he describes two caravans he had seen on his way back to Mecca. He told the people where he had seen these two caravans, okay, and what they were earning and when they would arrive to Mecca. Okay? All that the Prophet had said was proved when the caravans arrived at the time he said, and they were carrying all that he had described. Okay, so this means that he saw everything by his eyes, and this is the proof that that story is a true story. Again, sisters, okay, before learning about the lessons which we must learn from the night journey of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, again, sisters, if you believe in the Holy Quran, that it is the word of Allah, okay, and you believe that it was a revelation on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you believe that he was the one who never said a lie, and he is the one who is the trustworthy, okay, you must believe in what he is saying with no doubt. If you have doubt, you will doubt the Holy Quran, and you will be out of Islam. Okay, this is the basic, you know, a reality of the belief, okay? Because after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had all the Holy Quran. There was one man from Quraysh, his name is Musaylama the liar. He said that I can write a Holy Quran, like Prophet Muhammad. That Quran is written by him in spite of the fact he can't write or read. But I will write a Holy Quran. And one day he came to the people around Mecca having a poem, you know, with some words, okay? And all the people, they said to him, you are a liar. It is totally different from the Holy Quran. Allah said in the Holy Quran, many times I will give you two verses of the Quran so that you always keep it in mind. If you want to get one verse like that book, show us one. And then he repeated again, if you can get 10 verses from this book, show us. Okay, I must give you now these two verses of the Holy Quran related to the fact that if I believe that the Holy Quran is a revelation from Allah, from the heaven, then I must believe in Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, and I must believe in every word of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because these miracles cannot be compared to the miracle of the Holy Quran. Okay, I will give you now these two verses of the Quran related to the fact that, you know, you must believe that none can write or have one verse like the Holy Quran. We will recite now from Surah number 11. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is one and there is. We will recite the fact that I must believe the Holy Quran only from Allah. None can get any verse from the Holy Quran. And if I believe in this, I am a believer in whatever Prophet Muhammad said. We will recite now from Surah number 11. We will recite verse 12 and 13. Verse 12 and 13. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلعلك تارك بعض ما يوحى إليك وضائق به صدرك أن يقولوا لولا أنزل عليه كنز أو جاء معه ملك إنما أنت نذير والله على كل شيء وكيل أم يقولون افتراه قل فأتوا بعشر سور مثله مفتريات وادعوا من استطعتم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين فإن لم يستجيبوا لكم فاعلموا أنما أنزل بعلم الله وأن لا إله إلا هو فهل أنتم مسلمون. We will recite sisters from verse 12 to verse 14.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then would you possibly leave out some of what is revealed to you, or is your breast constrained by it? Because they say, why was there not been sent down to him a treasure, or come with him an angel? But you are only a warner, and Allah is disposer of all things. Or do they say, he invented it? Say, then bring ten surah like it that have been invented and call upon for assistance whoever you can beside Allah if you should be truthful. And if they do not respond to you, then know that if the Quran was revealed with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that there is no deity except Him, then would you not be Muslims?
This is the proof that Allah is saying to all humanity, you don't believe in the Quran, go ahead and get 10 surahs. Then you will be sure that it is only from Allah and you must be Muslims. This is what is mentioned in Surah number 11. Now we will recite from Surah number 10. Rahim, now we will recite from Surah number 10. Surah Yunus, the fact related that the Quran is from Allah, it is a revelation from the heavens, and it is a miracle, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the truth, and we must believe in Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, because it is from the one who never said a lie, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will recite now from Surah number 10, verse number 27, 28, 29. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما كان هذا القرآن أن يفترى من دون الله ولكن تصديق الذي بين يديه وتفصيل الكتاب لا ريب فيه من رب العالمين أم يقولون افتراه قل فأتوا بسورة مثله وادعوا من استطعتم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين بل كذبوا بما لم يحيطوا بعلمه ولما يأتهم تأويله كذلك كذب الذين من قبلهم فانظر كيف كان عاقبة الظالمين. From 27 to 29.
They who have earned blame for evil doings, the recompense of an evil deed.
It is 37.
I could not follow.
In Arabic, you know, in Arabic it is not clear, you know, that I am sorry, these verses of the Quran are from 37 to 39.
Okay, sorry. No, I couldn't find it. That makes more sense. No problem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And it was not possible for this Quran to be produced by other than Allah, but it is a confirmation of what was before it and a detailed explanation of the former scripture, about which there is no doubt, from the Lord of the worlds. Or do they say about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he invented it? Say, then bring forth a surah like it and call upon for assistance whomever you can besides Allah, if you should be truthful. Rather, they have denied that which they encompass not in knowledge and whose interpretation has not yet come to them. Thus did those before them deny. Then observe how was the end of the wrongdoers.
So now, sisters, we have the proof of the Holy Quran that it is a revelation from Allah to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is the greatest miracle in life. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never said a lie, and the night journey of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj is a true one, and he had that journey. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Physically and spiritually. Okay?
So, if someone was a Muslim, but they don't believe in this, okay, does that make them not a Muslim, or that just makes them confused?
Actually, some of them, they left Islam.
But about the ones that didn't, like, they still believed in the Quran, but it wasn't clear for them.
I don't know what happened at that time. But what is mentioned is that people were so, you know, surprised or astonished or whatever, but some of them, they left Islam. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Abu Bakr came and he said, so long Muhammad, the one who never said a lie, he is the one who is mentioning that story, the one the Quran is revealed to him. I believe in him. He is saying the truth. And the people started to listen to the full detailed description of the journey, and they knew when these two caravans came, and they said the same as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So they started to believe, and it was accepted by time. But at the beginning, when he mentioned it, some of the Muslims, they left Islam. Okay, they said we can do it.
So on this trip, this is when it was revealed that Muslims are supposed to pray 5 times a day. So kind of a related question is then, I read about some Muslims who don't pray 5 times a day because they say it's not mentioned in the Quran.
Yes.
So that means they don't necessarily believe in this. Does that make them not a Muslim anymore?
I will tell you one thing. You know, Liz, regarding Islam, okay, Islam is based on the belief that there is no God but Allah, and Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This means that Allah already mentioned in the Holy Quran the rules of the religion. But what about the details? How we know that Fajr prayer is 2 rakahs, Dhuhr prayer is 4 rakahs? How we know the way to pray, to stand and to do ruku' and to do sujood? All of this we learned from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the sunnah, the correct sunnah or ahadith and saying of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the continuation and the details of the rules of the Holy Quran. So if someone will say, I will just believe in the Holy Quran, this means that he has a problem in his basic belief in Islam. Because Islam means to believe, number one, there is no God but Allah, and Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. He was the one who had that night journey, and Allah was the one who commanded him for the prayer 5 times. Okay? If a person said, no, I will not pray 5 times, you have a problem with the belief, okay, in the commands of Allah regarding the prayer, okay, you will be questioned on the Day of Judgment. Okay, and again, you know what is the problem here, Liz, and this is one of the lessons from Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, and I will start with that lesson. So long you discussed about As-Salah and the prayer. From that journey, one of the lessons is that we learned the importance of As-Salah. Why? Because Salah or prayer is the only act of worship that was commanded in the upper heavens. Okay? The rest of them, they were mentioned in the Holy Quran. Fasting, Hajj, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and charity. The one which was commanded in above the 7 heavens, okay, is As-Salah. So if there is anyone who has any doubt regarding As-Salah, okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, between the belief and the disbelief is as-salah. Okay? So you cannot be a believer if you have any doubt regarding prayer. You know, and again, it is called as-salah, which means the connection. Okay, salah in Arabic is the connection. It is the connection between you and Allah. How? What is the proof? The proof is that, suppose I am a Muslim, but I am not praying. Okay, so what is the connection between you and Allah? Salah is obligatory. You must pray. Okay, this is a command. So those whom they don't pray, they don't communicate, or they don't connect with the Lord, who commanded them to connect with Him 5 times. So if they are not connecting with Allah day and night, so what is the proof that they are Muslims? What will encourage them to obey the commands of Allah? As-salah is the best gift to humanity from Allah. This is from my own personal experience. Okay, you cannot be a stable human being, having a good spirit, having good goals, your heart is clean, not full of revenge, hatred, and whatever bad feelings, like most of the human being nowadays, except through the prayer. Because when you connect with Allah and you are down in the sujood, very close to Allah, you feel how you are very weak, you are nothing, you cannot do anything, and the only power in this life and the one who is running the life according to His plans and commands by word be is Allah. I am down, I am nothing. Maybe I will be paralyzed down. I will not be able to return to, maybe I will die down. Okay? But I am close to the one who can do everything. If I cannot connect with the most powerful, and during my sujood I will tell Him, oh Allah, I am so worried, I am so upset, I am crying, because Allah, you know the reality, you know that after 5 minutes, maybe I will lose everything. Maybe I will start driving my car and I will have a car accident and I will, you know, be either dead or I will be quadriplegia or whatever. Yesterday I was reading, you know, like I was always, as I mentioned to you, I always read the page of those whom they died in Houston Chronicle. Okay, this is my habit. And it is giving me a lot of lessons. You can't imagine. It was the picture of a man who is 36 years old. You know, when he was 20, he was in the military. And then he had a diving accident and quadriplegia. 20 years old, quadriplegia. Then he decided, you know, to move around America and all over the world to clarify to the people that those whom they have the disabilities, they can still live their life. So he was a very famous man, actually. You know, but when I just read 20 years old, quadriplegia. And I saw the quadriplegia when I was working. You can't imagine. To tell you the truth, Allah knows the ability of every person. Death is more easy than living quadriplegia. In great need of someone to put for you water in your mouth. When you need the water, someone must be beside you 24 hours. Then give you the food, change your clothes, change the bumpers. Okay, 20 years old, people changing the bumper. What will be the feeling of a man who was full of life, full of power, and over a night, one night, he wake up in the morning, quadriplegia. Okay, so when you realize the reality of the worldly life, or someone who become blind, or someone who lost his mind, or whatever, when you realize these facts, that it can happen to anyone at any second, okay, I must obey Allah day and night. I am choosing this. Why? To give me the psychological support that He will never put on me a burden which I can tolerate. For me, for my husband, for my kids, for everyone whom I know. I was so upset yesterday afternoon until night. I was preparing the class and I was so upset after I read about that man whom I don't know. Because I got his feelings. You know, he died because of pneumonia, because he was on the bed, you know, for some time, and, you know, he died. So, you know, sister, this is the reality of the worldly life. The worldly life is Allah. That's it. So if you want to connect with him, okay, and to tell him all whatever is in your heart with sincerity, and to get rid of the negative charges or the negative, yes, charges, okay, regarding what, I am so worried, now I give you the class and I am very strong, and I tell you, no fear, no worry. How I say no fear and no worry? From my day night, from my night prayers, night, not Fajr prayer, before Fajr, when Allah is down in the first heaven, saying, if there is anyone who is calling on me, I will answer him. I can't sleep while Allah is down. I must wake up and I must tell to him, oh Allah, take care of me, take care of my husband, of my kids, day and night. Oh Allah, we cannot tolerate, we cannot tolerate, we have only you, I will obey you day and night. There is none but you, okay? And because there is none but you, I only have you. I only have Allah, because there is none but Allah. If I don't live these minutes with Allah at night, I will not be able to leave my home, because maybe I will have an accident. I will stop my kids from going out. Maybe they will have an accident. But maybe the building also will fall down. Who knows? Maybe we will have a fire. Allahu a'lam. So how I can support my spirit so that I will not be all the time worried? This is how most of the people are living. Why people are drinking? Why people are having drugs? Because when these facts are clear, you cannot escape it. How you can escape it? Through drugs and through wine. So this means that people whom they are drinking or having drugs, they are not bad people, but they don't have psychological support. This is the Holy Quran. This is why Allah forbids wine for the Muslim, because the Holy Quran is the cure and the medicine and the tranquility and the peace and everything for the spirit. So for those Muslims whom they are not praying or connecting with Allah through the Salah, they are the true losers. Allah is not in need of everyone to pray or to worship Him or to become Muslims. Allah said this: if the first of you and the last of you and the rich of you and the poor of you and the jinn of you and the ants of you, all of you are not believers, this will not decrease anything in my kingdom. And also if the first of you and the last of you and the jinn of you and the ants of you are true believers, this will not add anything to my kingdom. It is your deeds and I am counting them for you. It is your responsibility, okay? And when you are close to Allah, it is not only for the day of judgment. It is for this worldly life. How I can be all the time a good person, following the right way, never to lie, never to cheat, never to revenge, never to hate anyone. How can I can be having this spirit which I am commanded to have while I am living in a jungle? Or, you know, with people whom you... To tell you the truth, nowadays, when you look to the face of the people, except the very righteous ones, you don't know what is inside. You know, this is a problem, mask face. You sit with the people laughing, smiling, but I don't know, she likes me in reality or not. She wants to be close to me or not. I can't read the people. You cannot read the people nowadays. So how come I can be still having the best manners with those people? Whom you cannot read them. You can only be this when you connect with Allah in sincerity, in salah. When you connect with Him, Allah will give you. You know, Allah will shower you with His mercy. The mercy of Allah equal to support, trust, tranquility. Okay, don't fear anyone. Just put the trust in me and don't think it over a lot. Don't think of anything. Just follow my commands and leave it to me. Okay, so those whom they are not praying, okay, this is actually, you know, the fruits of being a Muslim. Number one, as-salah. Okay, so not to pray, believing that it is a burden, or I don't have time, or those whom they pray at the end of the day, quick, okay, believing that they will get the reward. No, the reward is not up to this, the reward is up to the sincerity. Okay, this is number one. And number two, which is the most important, you lost the connection. Why Allah made it five times? When you just wake up, okay, full of worry and not clear, you don't have clear plans for the day. Okay, so as soon as I open my eyes, I meet Allah. And in the sujood, I have the conversation with Him. So He will give me the dose of tranquility and peace, so I will start my day. By dhuhr, I will be already exposed to some troubles of the worldly life. So I will meet Him again. And in the sujood down, I will have the conversation again. Oh Allah, in the morning I had this and that and this, and I'm worried about this and that. Oh Allah, take care of me, give me the support. Oh Allah, I need to be in the best shape. I have a lot of responsibility. This is how you live with Allah. This is as-salah, this is the connection. Then you meet Him in Asr, then you meet Him in Maghrib, then you meet Him before you sleep. It's God.
Where it says, start your salah, you can do sajda, write with your own native language and just go in the sajda. But if you start the salah and you do the salah, even when you're in sajda, you cannot include your native language if you keep Arabic.
No, this is wrong. That's my responsibility. Wrong, 100%. Okay, as-salah is as-salah. No one can say you can do this or do that. We are praying according to the way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying. Prayer is one way. You cannot add or decrease. Okay? Mm-hmm. But when you are down, okay, and you want to talk to Allah with your language.
Okay?
Okay? On my responsibility.
Even though
Salah. Yes, you are praying in Arabic. Okay? Because prayer must be in Arabic. Okay? But when you talk to Allah in your language.
Okay?
Okay? So that you can feel...
It's better to pray when your head is on the floor. It's better to pray when your head is on the floor.
Not it is better. You feel
breathe. I feel like I can't breathe when I'm on the floor.
No, I tell you, Daniel. You know, gradually, when you are down and when you quit with Allah and with your problems, you will be away from everything.
Yeah.
So you will.
I mean, I feel like I can't.
Because all the blood comes to your head.
This is good. When the blood comes to your head, you know, I say, oh,
I can't.
Come up a little bit. Maybe gradually you can increase it. Gradually you can increase. But you know, when you are overwhelmed with a problem, you know, you will be deep inside that problem. So you will not think I can breathe or not. No problem for breathing. Okay.
See you inshallah.
See you inshallah next week. Salamat. Okay, so this is what I want to answer her question. But let us continue about the lessons from Al-Isra and Al-Ma'raj. Actually, we mentioned about the importance of prayer. Number two, after hardship, there is ease. Okay, after the very difficult days of sadness, Allah the Most Merciful, He supported the great spirit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by this journey, which is a miracle and a special gift to the Prophet, as he saw the prophets and prayed with them as their imam. Number two, this journey is a great honor for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah showed him the heavens and Allah showed him the paradise and the hell. Actually, Allah the Almighty chose Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be the last messenger, and He sent him with the message of the Holy Quran, which is the only accepted message on the Day of Judgment. We will recite also that verse of the Quran, so that all the time, sister, you must be thankful to Allah that Allah created us as Muslim, or Allah helped one like Daniel to become a Muslim, to revert to Islam. Surah number 3, Surah Ali Imran, verse number 85. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم page 79 بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين.
So from 85 to 89?
No, it is only 85.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And whoever desires other than Islam as religion, never will it be accepted from him, and he in the hereafter will be among the losers.
Number four, regarding the lesson from the trip of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, the unity of the prophets. Actually, all the prophets, they prayed together, having Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their imam, that is to say leader. This means that they all have one faith. We will recite now from Surah number 21, verse number 25, to learn about the universal message of every prophet sent to humanity. There is no God but Allah. We will recite now from Surah number 21. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 21, verse number 25. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه. إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And we send not before you any messenger except we reveal to him that there is no deity except me, so worship me.
So actually these are the lessons which we learned from the night journey of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, which is a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah we will continue about his life inshallah next week, and let us make the dua. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.